Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Power Up Living with Kelly Gallia, the show for seekers and doers looking for more freedom, flexibility, and fun in life and business. Let's get energized, get motivated, and get into action. It's time to power up, tune into the possibilities, and amplify your life. Hi, everyone. This is Kelly, and today we're talking about living life with intention and meaning. And here to help and back by popular demand is Dr. Eric Maisel. Eric is a licensed psychotherapist, America's foremost creativity coach, and author of numerous titles, including his latest book, Life Purpose Bootcamp, The 8-Week Breakthrough Plan for Creating a Meaningful Life. Welcome back to the show, Eric.
Hi, Kelly. Great to be back with you.
Well, we are thrilled because this is just a fabulous book. And as someone active in the self-growth and personal development space, I have spent a lot of time researching life purpose and trying to make sense of it all. And your book offers to me a refreshingly unique approach. So can you tell us how Life Purpose Bootcamp is different than other books and programs out there in the same space?
Well, I think the major headline is the, I hope, clarity. I want to say the clarity in the distinction between meaning and life purpose. That's a big deal. Folks learn that meaning is a certain kind of psychological experience, that it's not an objective reality. It's not at the top of a mountain or at some guru's feet, but it's rather what you yourself consider significant, important, meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it an experience of a certain sort, and in a certain sense, merely an experience. It kind of reduces the importance of meaning as one of our challenges in life. Once we understand it's just an experience, like joy or something else, then we can make more of it, but also not worry so much if we're not experiencing it for a minute. Life purpose, on the other hand, I hold as choices. We don't have life purposes unless we make life purpose choices. So meaning is merely an experience, but life purpose is a choice. And in that sense, life purpose trumps meaning. It's more important to know what your life purpose choices are than to have experiences of meaning. As important as those experiences are, really the most important thing in life, I think, is to know what your life purpose choices are and to be living them.
Yeah, and, you know, I really appreciated that distinction between those two things because I think so many times we can be like, you know, oh, this life purpose is this overarching type of thing and we associate it, it's like this end-all, be-all. And your book gave us that power back, and I really appreciated that because I can get myself pretty overwhelmed and, you know, waiting for the cloud and the skies to part and, you know, oh, here's your life purpose.
Yep. And we're held hostage by that language, you know, the meaning of life, the purpose of life. We've been held hostage by that language for thousands of years. It's really time to move past that language and think about life purpose choices. There is no purpose to life. There are just our life purpose choices. And we can hold those choices as a menu, you know, like my life purpose choices are to have intimate relationships and to create and to be of service and to be an activist. We can hold it as a menu. Or we can hold it as a phrase, like, I intend to do the next right thing, or I intend to make meaning. Whether we're holding it more as a phrase or as a menu, or both, we can hold them as both simultaneously. By having that ability to know what we're doing, to know how we want to represent ourselves in life, to know how we want to make ourselves proud, then we actually know how to organize our day better. On a practical level, one of the things I suggest to folks is that they start their day with an orientation toward their life purposes, that they spend 15 seconds or 30 seconds just asking the question, how do I want to get my life purpose choices onto my daily to-do list? Because if you don't mindfully do that, if you don't with intention get your life purpose choices onto your daily to-do list, our daily errands and responsibilities and everything else will just inundate us and we won't ever get to our life purpose choices.
Right. Yeah, we'll never make time for it because we've already gone and sort of let our day carry us away.
That's right.
So, Eric, I mean, I've been playing in the space too a while, and a lot of coaches use this boot camp metaphor. They're talking about, you know, being ready for hard work, rolling up your sleeves, jumping in, taking action. And you obviously, you know, use this metaphor in the title of your book, but also throughout this book. But to me, you take it a step further because you weave in the story of your experiences in the Army, which made it that much more real and meaningful to me. So tell us more about this metaphor and how we can apply it to the idea of life purpose.
Well, you've named the main point of the metaphor, and that is identifying our life purposes is work, and getting them onto our daily to-do list is work. So the main metaphor of boot camp is that it's a certain kind of work. But there are lots of other resonances and realities to boot camp. Give you one simple example, the idea of us not realizing the extent to which we have the inner resources to do this work. Mm-hmm. One of the things you do as a drill instructor, and I was a drill instructor in the Army a long time ago, one of the things you do is you help soldiers, raw recruits, understand that they have more inner resources than they imagine with a very simple demonstration. So you bring up a soldier, have him hold his rifle out at arm's length, and at some point, you can't hold it out there any longer. The rifle's going to begin to drop. The soldier's arms just get too tired. And everybody watching, all the recruits watching, are absolutely convinced that this soldier has no more resources. This is just reality, that this rifle is now going to drop. And all the drill sergeant has to say is, get that rifle up there, soldier, in a louder voice than I'm saying it now. And the rifle instantly returns to the upright position because the soldier's flooded with adrenaline and has new energy and can hold the rifle up again for a while. And I think that's true about us too. That is, we have kind of our everyday resources, and that's what we think we have. We don't understand that we have more inner resources than that. And because we do have more inner resources than that, we can apply those inner resources to doing this arduous work of identifying our life purpose choices and living them. And there are lots of other metaphors, other resonances to the boot camp metaphor. One is the idea of regularity and drill, the idea of drill. I think that probably the more common word for drill is practice. Mm-hmm. And I think if we don't make some of our life purpose choices practices, that is, things that we do absolutely every day that we show up to, whether we feel like it or not, we're not going to be living those life purposes. So whether you call it drill or practice, that's another part of the metaphor. And let me just add one more. There are actually quite a few, but I'll just add one more. And that's the idea of actually changing dramatically from one day to the next. That's what happens when you enter boot camp. One day, the day before, you were living your ordinary life, you know, in your neighborhood with your friends, doing whatever it was you were doing. Then suddenly the next day, you're thrust into boot camp in a completely different environment. And really your life changes dramatically from one day to the next. I think actually you change dramatically from one day to the next. Part of that metaphor then is that we can change from one day to the next dramatically, positively. We can be one person yesterday with our formed personality, and today we can make use of our available personality to be a different person, somebody who's really paying attention to our life purpose choices. So I think that idea of being able to do something dramatically different from one day to the next, the change doesn't necessarily take 163 years, but that we can actually make a significant change from one day to the next, I think that's another important piece of the metaphor.
Yeah, absolutely, because we can be caught up in this endless loop almost of, you know, these circumstances and things that are going on and not realizing we have that power of choice that, you know, we can shed that as quickly as we would like to. It's just two things.
And I think we have tactics for that, too. That's what I'm hoping to provide in the book, are tactics for quick change. For instance, one of the things I like to suggest to clients, there are lots of ways to talk about anxiety and anxiety management and anxiety management techniques, and there are actually probably a score of anxiety management techniques that work for folks. But one way I like to talk about is the idea of just flipping the calmness switch, just deciding to be a calmer person from one moment to the next. And not everybody gets that metaphor. Not everybody can picture the switch inside and or know how to throw it. But for some people, they instantly get it. They go, okay, I can create fewer dramas in my life. I can just, in a general way, feel less anxious. I can decide to be calmer. And that's a big deal. If you can find that calmness switch and throw it, again, that's another sense in which you can change dramatically from one minute to the next.
It absolutely is. And again, we keep coming back to this choice. But, you know, I was thinking so many times we crave having this knowledge of our life purpose, and we seek out books and information like Life Purpose Bootcamp. Then we're inspired and we're motivated, and we make some life purpose choices, but then we just don't feel up to achieving them. You know, we automatically start reverting to some of those maybe not so great habits. So what do you suggest that our listeners do if they're sort of struggling with those feelings or they're coming against these obstacles?
Well, there are lots of different things to say. One is the thing we said already, and that is to really buy the idea of practice, the idea of showing up, and not attaching to outcomes. Everybody's attached to the outcome. We want to lose 23 pounds from today to tomorrow and what have you, rather than sticking to our good eating habits throughout life. So one piece of it is the practice piece, but probably the most important part of that is what I call upgrading your personality. You may have to change to become the person equal to living your life purpose choices. If you're today an addict and you're spending your day running around looking for a fix, you're not also going to be living your life purpose choices. And that's an extreme example of sort of the everyday example of people needing to maybe become better risk takers or calmer people or more confident or whatever it is that you need to do to become the person equal to living your life purpose choices. And in this sense, upgrading your personality becomes one of your life purpose choices. It's kind of a simple equation there. In order to live my other life purpose choices, one of my life purpose choices has to be making myself into the person able to do all that other work. So I think we have to pay a lot of attention to the senses in which our shadows interfere, our shortfalls interfere, our weaknesses interfere. We have to become our higher self, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, I really enjoyed the way that you phrased that, because we hear so many times that, you know, step into it or practice being this person, and sometimes it just doesn't seem concrete or real enough, so I really enjoyed this way of upgrading to become equal to that person, living your life purpose choices. It was a different way of looking at it, and something that I feel that when you're more of an action taker and a doer, that felt really good to me.
Yeah. Let me play on that for one second. And I have a vision of personality as being made up of three parts. One is original personality. That's our endowments and proclivities and temperaments, the things we come into the world with. And by the way, psychology, psychotherapy doesn't believe in any of that. It acts like we all come into the world the same. But anybody who's had children or puppies or kittens knows that creatures are different one from another.
Yes.
You know, so we have our original personality about which we probably will never know enough or can't know enough. Then there's what I call our formed personality. That's the personality that accretes over time. That's the person we become, our habitual ways of doing things, our reflexive ways of doing things. Then there's what I call available personality, which is our remaining freedom to affect our personality, our remaining freedom to be the person we want to be. And I think everybody has a different, so to speak, amount of available personality. The addict I mentioned before has probably very little available personality at this split second with which to make change. And another person more available personality. And that idea that form personality is kind of our straitjacket, it is unfortunately very sabotaging our formed personality. So that's its problem, that it handcuffs us in certain ways, but we still have available personality, our remaining freedom to make the changes we need to make.
Excellent. I'm just jotting some notes furiously here. So, Eric, you know, I'm going through this program now, and week four, dealing with your circumstances, was really eye-opening. You know, you show how our circumstances can stop us from living our life purposes, which I've certainly found to be true. So I'm curious, you know, what are some of the things that we can do when we find ourselves caught up in these circumstances? And, you know, back to that drama we talked about before, right? We kind of bring a lot of it on ourselves.
Circumstances are real. You know, we have real jobs. We have real relationships. If we hate our job, that's a big problem. If we hate our relationship, that's a big problem. Those are circumstances that are going to negatively affect our ability to live our life purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I did a Life Purpose Boot Camp virtual conference recently, and I was interviewing folks and chatting with folks and discerned the following really interesting thing. These were folks who now felt that they were living their life purposes by and large, but at some point in their life, they weren't. Maybe they were engaged in a job that now was completely meaningless to them, or a belief system that was completely meaningless to them. They knew that. They knew that for a fact, and somewhere in their being, they knew that they were going to have to make a big change. Now, here's the interesting part. On average, it took them between five and six years to make the change. Even though in a certain moment in time, they knew for sure that they could no longer be at this job, it still took them 5 or 6 years to get out of that job. For obvious reasons, the job's bringing in the paycheck. The thing you might try next comes with no guarantees, so it feels risky to drop X to try Y. So there are plenty of reasons why it takes so long, but it's poignant that it takes so long. So I think a headline tactic with respect to dealing with your circumstances is to make the change that you know is coming sooner rather than later. Sounds obvious, but the fact that you may spend 5 or 6 years in this emotional distress waiting to make the change you know you're going to make anyway, it would be lovely if you could see that coming, if you could see that on the horizon, and say 3 years earlier than those 5 years, I'm making the change now. I think that would really help people deal with their circumstances if they just did the simple-to-say thing of, with respect to any circumstance that they wanted to change, just say sooner rather than later. I think there's a lot of power in that phrase, and I think it would help people do the work they have to do to make the changes they know they need to make.
Absolutely, and free up so much of that energy that goes along with that emotional distress that they're currently in.
That's right. And because we have the repetitive experience of things not working, of being in circumstances we don't want to be in, then those 5 years become 20 years, you know, because we're in this bad job for 5 years, now we're in the next thing that isn't working, takes us 5 years to get out of that. We can spend virtually our whole life knowing that we need to make changes and not making them. So that's just one of the headline things that we have to do better, making changes sooner and more effectively.
Oh, I love that. So, Eric, we keep talking about your wonderful book, so let our audience know where they can go to learn more about you and check out your book.
Well, it's in all the usual places, but I would invite folks to come to my site, ericmaisel.com. That's ericmaisel.com. There's actually a website for this book specifically, and that's lifepurposebootcamp.info, I-N-F-O. But I think I would invite folks first to come to my site and see all the different things I'm doing.
Yeah, you have lots of wonderful resources over there. So that is Eric Maisel at, ericmaisel.com, ericmaisel.com. Okay, great. So, you know, with this approach, there's much to do before you get to actively naming your life purposes. And once you do name them, it's quite another thing to live them. So what are your top tips for actually living our life purposes? And,
back to that practice, right? Yeah. The top tip is the one I mentioned, and that's actually orienting your day toward them. And that is starting out first thing in the morning and saying, which of my life purposes do I want to live today? You don't have to live every life purpose every day. Let's say you're writing a novel and also in an intimate relationship that you want to enjoy and also wanting to be of service in a certain way and also an activist for a certain cause. Well, maybe the activism doesn't happen today, but the writing of the novel does. Or maybe the activism, or vice versa. So just being mindful and intentional about, okay, today I'm doing A, B, and C. And it may just be an hour of A and an hour of B and an hour of C, and that's all of the time you spend on that day, so to speak, living your life purposes. And then the rest of the day you may be, so to speak, stuck in traffic. That's life. So it doesn't have to be the case that every moment of the day feel meaningful or be oriented around your life purposes, but some of your day must be, or else over time you just won't have the experience of living your life purposes. So that the top tip is to think about this first thing each day and orient yourself in that direction. The second top tip is something that's really been interesting me, and people are responding to it, and that's the idea of creating and even wearing a life purpose icon. And that's the idea that one can dream up an image that somehow, even we're talking a lot about words here, all of these life purpose choices were a lot of words. But it's also the case that a single image can capture the essence of all those words. And people get this idea instantly and they go, okay, I think a lighthouse is going to stand for me. It's going to stand for my life purpose choices, or a walking stick or an acorn or a praying mantis, whatever it is. This idea arose in me because I've always been intrigued by how much utility a Christian gets out of a cross or a Jew gets out of a Star of David. There's so much information and resonance and power embedded in those icons. And so it struck me, why can't individuals create their own icons which have that much resonance and power for them? And so that's my second big tip, is to actually do that for yourself. Decide on an image or have an image bubble up for you, and then turn it into a piece of jewelry and hold it close. Because the headline for what we're talking about here is holding your life purpose choices close so they don't just vanish, so they don't just drop off your to-do list. One of the ways of holding them close is to think about them first thing each day. A second way to hold them close is to actually create and wear a life purpose icon.
I really like this idea. I'm writing a little note to myself to turn mine into a piece of jewelry. I would really enjoy that.
Yeah, and it could be, obviously, it could be, you know, a screensaver. It could be anything under the sun that works for you. But you want it to be, so to speak, in eyesight or available to you. You know, not locked away in a drawer, but actually nearby. I was almost going to say tattoo it, but I don't think I want to get into the ink question.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I actually have a whole segment on my website about the symbol that I use, and that to me that is my icon. It's a triskelion symbol, and I talk about how I couldn't decide. I came across it years and years ago, and I couldn't decide where I wanted to put it. I thought it'd be a great tattoo, and then I decided it was much better served as a symbol and a logo within my business rather than a tattooed on my body somewhere.
Exactly. And if my daughters were listening, I don't want them to think that I would be for tattoos at all. So
so I guess it's all our choices, but yeah.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's true. So, Eric, you work
to say
with
just as
many...
A, just...
Oh, what's that?
No, I've done nothing. I was going to say as a parenthesis that I actually watch Ink Master, and I enjoy watching people get tattooed, but that's a separate question.
Well, and it is a really creative process, and to me, people come up with just amazing artwork and things, too, just works the beauty. But, you know, you do work with many like creative people, right? And I'm just wondering, because as soon as you were talking earlier about some of these things, I thought, I'm sort of guessing that creatives have some particular challenges around life purpose. And the first one that popped into my mind was the fact that it's, again, I mentioned this earlier, not an end-all, be-all life purpose, but we're talking about life purposes, the plural.
Yep.
I thought that was
the
first thing that was eye-opening. But what are some of the challenges that you've seen creatives face with this?
Well, that's a big one. And by that I mean that creative people often believe that they only have one life purpose to get their creative work done. And so they focus all of their energy and attention on getting it done, or maybe failing it to get it done. And that is attention on their blocks and on their difficulties and what have you. But we know historically, even if you are the most productive artist under the sun or doing the most beautiful work, getting your work done is not enough to have an emotionally healthy life. We could name all the Van Goghs of the world or what have you who did wonderful work and still committed suicide. It turns out for a creative person has to think seriously about the idea of life purposes rather than a single life purpose, and not put all of your eggs into the one life purpose basket of creating or performing, whatever it is you do. And that's a big issue for creative folks. A second big issue is the way in which the meaning drains out of the enterprise of creating often, and we begin to feel like what we're doing doesn't matter. You know, does the world need another photograph or another watercolor or another short story or another this, another that? Well, maybe it does. But that's the way that a creative person often thinks, that just suddenly the meaningfulness of the activity vanishes. So because of that, creative folks have to understand the techniques for reinvesting meaning, for knowing what to do when there are meaning crises, and how to keep that singular life purpose of creating afloat. So there are two different questions there. One is how to actually manifest the life purpose choice of creating, and that's a whole big issue. And the second is to not have that be your only life purpose choice, but to really inside advocate for other life purpose choices also.
Yeah, that was a huge eye-opener. And it was, you know, many of us, one of our biggest values is freedom, right? And you talk about this a lot in the book, and things that help us to create freedom and things where maybe we're denying our freedom. But to me, this was one of the most liberating and freeing things was, oh, because it took the pressure off of that creative work, and it took the meaning out of the outcome of that creative work, and it gave meaning to far more things and more enjoyment to, oh, yeah, I can actually think of all of these life purposes because I do a daily gratitude journal, and wow, so many of those things are right there every single day.
Yeah, one of the Tennessee Williams had a great line. I think it was Tennessee Williams. It might have been Truman Capote, one or the other, who said, once I stop writing, the rest of my day is posthumous, which is really interesting. It's like, I don't know what to do with myself after I've done my writing, and that's a shame, and that's a danger. It's a real danger if, you know, from 7:30 to 9 in the morning you write, and then you have no idea what to do with the rest of your day. That's very dangerous. So that's why it's so important to have other life purpose choices in mind, because there's only so much creating we can do. And if any creative person knows, if you really put in 2 hours at your work daily, that's a lot. Well, that leaves you with 22 hours to spend, and you don't want those 22 hours to feel meaningless. So you have to understand how to live the rest of life as well as living the creative portion.
So true. And, you know, Eric, I don't want to, like, give away a bunch of the details of the book, but you do have people go through an exercise where they're sort of creating a day that is based on, you know, a mix of ways to experience meaning, right? And so I'm just curious, since we have you on the line with us now, is what does your day look like? What is a day full of meaning and opportunities, meaning investments for you?
Well, I have two different sets of days. I have Monday through Thursday, while my wife babysits our 19-month-old grandson about an hour away from here. So I'm on my own for those 4 days, and I work pretty much all the time on those days because the things that I'm doing really interest me. I'm in a global mental health reform movement which wonders about the logic of mental health disorder labeling, especially for children, etc. So there's a lot of juice and energy there for me to do good work there. To say that simply, I probably work from about 5 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon at the things that I do Monday through Thursday, and then stop and relax. That's my daily routine. Then when my wife is around, we do things.
That's right. We can't just be all about creating in the work. We have to have our other things that are bringing us meaning and our purposes as well.
That's exactly right. But Pavarotti has a quote I like, which is, people say I'm disciplined, but it's not discipline, it's devotion, and there's a big difference. And that resonates for me because I'm devoted to the things I'm doing. I'm not a particularly disciplined person. I couldn't white-knuckle writing a novel. I'm not sure anyone can just out of discipline sit there for 2.5 years straight doing work. I think you have to be a little bit in love with it, a little bit devoted to it. And that's, for me, a big difference. And I feel quite devoted to the various things I do.
Well, we can see that devotion coming through, Eric. So let our audience know one more time where they can go to learn more about you and this fabulous book, Life Purpose Bootcamp, the 8-week breakthrough plan for creating a meaningful life.
The place is my website, ericmaisel.com, ericmaisel.com.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, Eric. It has been such a pleasure, and as always, time has flown way too fast, but I do appreciate you coming back for an encore performance with us here at Power Up Living.
Thanks, Kelly. Great being with you.
Thanks for joining us for the Power Up Living Show with Kelly Gallia. For more resources and tips to help you experience more freedom, flexibility, and fun in life and business, visit powerupliving.com.